The scripture reading this morning is taken from Colossians, the third chapter. Just two verses, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. We have visitors with us. We're happy about that. Hope you'll come back and be with us as often as you can. We just love to have you come and worship God with us anytime you can. Something, I think, that should continually impress us as we study the Word of God is that God wants us to be right. In Matthew chapter 15, in verses 8 and 9, where the Lord is quoting from Isaiah, he says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Pharisees and the scribes worshipped in a way that appeared to promote devotion to God. But the Lord says, because they are following after the ideas of men in their worship, that made their religion worthless. There are some today who would be very reluctant to question anyone else's manner of worship. But the fact is that even today, there are those who follow after the precepts of men instead of the Word of God. And if I understand what Jesus is saying here, that makes them wrong. God does not want us to be wrong. He wants us to be right. That's why He's given us His Word, so that we can know what is right and that we might practice what is right. But even though God wants us to be right, and even though we may strive to do that which is right, sometimes there will be some who don't really appreciate our efforts in that regard. In fact, our efforts to do that which is right might cause some people to be irritated with us, maybe some people to criticize us, and maybe even some people to persecute us. The Bible tells us that that will be so. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and in verses 8 and 9, he says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." Here are folks who are trying to do what's right, and they're being slandered for it. When Paul was sent to Rome, after he had appealed to Caesar when he had been arrested, do you remember what the leading men of Rome said to Paul regarding Christianity? What they say to him in Acts 28 and verse 22 is where we can read this. They say to him, "We desire to hear from you what your views are. For concerning this sect," they're talking about Christianity, "concerning this sect, it is known to us that it is spoken against everywhere." Spoken against, even though it was right. Well, to be slandered, to be spoken against, to be ostracized because of trying to do what is right, that can be discouraging. And that can make it even more difficult for us to do what is right, to keep trying to find the motivation to do those things that the Lord would have us to do. The title of this lesson is, "We Need to Do It Anyway." And while it is true that many sermons have 3 to 5, maybe more, main points, this one only has one. We need to do it anyway. I want us to look at some general areas where this attitude will serve us well. The first thing I want us to consider is the rightness of being kind and fair to other people. There are several places in the Old Testament where God instructs His people to treat fairly with one another. Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23, we'll read starting in verse 13. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 13. You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a large and a small. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a full and just weight. You shall have a full and just measure, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. For everyone who does these things, everyone who acts unjustly, is an abomination to the Lord your God. And then in Proverbs 11 and verse 1, the scripture says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. There are lots of other places in the Old Testament where this is taught. So treating people fairly, fairly in business, is simply right. But if we do that, if we treat people as fairly as we can, if we give them good quality, if we give them a fair deal, we give them the benefit of the doubt, there are probably going to be some, at least from time to time, who might not treat us the same way. In fact, they may try to take advantage of us and cheat us. And when this happens, of course, that's very disappointing. And it can even be discouraging. And we may feel like maybe we shouldn't need to be quite so fair with people as we've been in the past. We need to do it anyway. We may not be rewarded now, but God sees our efforts, and He will reward us on the day of judgment. Look at what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and verses 23 through 25. Colossians 3, starting in verse 23. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. In these verses, we are taught that Christians should be fair whenever they treat with other people, because we know that the Lord will reward us. It is he who we are serving. And in those verses that were read before for us just before I came up here, in Colossians chapter 3, those verses teach that Christians should be folks who are compassionate, who are kind, who are gentle, who are loving. That suggests that we should treat others with kindness and patience, that we should be concerned about them. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul says, this is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. Well, good deeds for others are things that believers should do. But if we make an effort to do those good deeds, to show kindness to people, to be nice to them, there may be some who will not respond to that in a positive way. We may show friendliness to someone, and they might not be friendly to us in return. In fact, they might even be rude to us. We may try to show concern for some folks, and they may act like they don't care about us at all. We may make a real effort to speak to people, but they may not make much of an effort to speak to us. In fact, they may require that we always be the one who makes the effort. And if we happen not to speak to them on some occasion, they feel like we've snubbed them somehow. You ever known anybody like that? I have known people like that. Even though they seldom make the effort themselves. Maybe we make a real effort to do nice things to others. Maybe we invite them over, we show hospitality, and it's rarely, if ever, returned. Well, first, hopefully we don't do those things just so someone will do something nice to us. That should not be our motivation. But if we do make that kind of effort, and some people don't seem to take it the right way, they don't appear as though they really appreciate what we're trying to do, our kindness is returned instead with a crabby remark or a glare, or maybe they just ignore us altogether. If those things happen, and as disappointing and as discouraging as that might be, we should resist the temptation to feel like we're wasting our time trying to be nice to people. I mean, why should we? They don't appreciate it. They don't care. No, we need to do it anyway. We need to do it anyway. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, Peter says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Hebrews 13 verse 1, let love of the brethren continue. And look, if you would, in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, I want us to notice what Jesus tells his followers. Luke chapter 6, we'll start reading in verse 31. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Even though others may not always appreciate our efforts, the right thing to do is to be kind, to be compassionate, to do good deeds for others. And God will see these things. And they will please Him even if they please no one else. We need to do those things anyway. A second area where this attitude might help us is in this idea of teaching and encouraging others. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus gives His apostles what we call the Great Commission. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The disciples of Jesus were expected to teach others about the Lord, and we as disciples are expected to do the same. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 2 and says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." This is the plan for the spreading of the gospel. Those who have been taught the gospel teach it to others. They in turn teach it to others. This is how it propagates. And we may see this command of our Lord very seriously, and we should. We may make a real effort to try and reach out to others with the gospel of Christ. But those of us who have tried to do so, who are currently trying to do so, we understand that sometimes, even though we try our very best to speak and teach the truth kindly and patiently, some may still accuse us of being harsh and unkind. There are things in the Bible that some people do not want to hear. We may invite someone to come over to a Bible study, or we may give them a sermon tape to listen to, or maybe just ask if they want to talk to us about the Bible for a few minutes. And even if all we have done is approach them about something like this, it's possible that some will not only refuse, but they may even get angry. There are things in the Bible that some people do not want to hear. And that's just kind of the way it is. That may happen a lot. And when it happens, of course, it's disappointing. Of course, it is discouraging. We may feel like we're just wasting our time, and we may be tempted to just altogether stop trying to spread the Word of God. Can't do that. We need to do it anyway. People still need to hear the truth. And frankly, the Bible warns us that there will be those who don't like what they hear. In 2 Timothy 4, and in verses 2 and 3, we know what Paul says to Timothy there. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 3, he says to Timothy, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desire." We do not become someone's enemy because we try to tell them the truth. They may see it that way, but all we're really trying to do is what the Lord would have us to do, so we need to do it anyway. Or maybe we're making an effort to help those with that we're working with and who we're teaching to more perfectly understand the truth. Sometimes we may be accused of being picky. I confess, I can be picky sometimes about what the Word says. Sometimes perhaps too picky. I'll even confess that with you. But some people may wonder why we have that kind of approach to the Word of God. Why does it have to be just exactly what it says? And we do the best we can to show them that this is the approach that the Bible wants us to take. They may not appreciate that. Need to do it anyway. Because there are some who do have a good and noble heart, and they will respond favorably to the truth, and they will be able to grow by really looking carefully at what the Word says. Christianity is not something that is once obeyed and then the work is done, regardless of how many religious teachers see it that way. That's simply not what the Bible says. If we're going to grow as Christians, we have to be established. We have to be strengthened in the faith. And like Peter says in 2 Peter 1, we have to be diligent in adding to our faith things like moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And look what he goes on to say. Turn, if you would, to 2 Peter 1. We'll read starting in verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. You will never ultimately stumble. And maybe we try to encourage from time to time weak members to be more faithful in their attendance, to be more active in the work of the local church. And again, maybe we'll do that with all of the concern and kindness that we can muster. But there will be some who will just ignore those kinds of efforts. There may be some who would resent those kinds of efforts. We have to do it anyway. We can't allow ourselves to be tempted to say, well, this is not worth doing. This is not worth continuing. This is not getting, there are better things I can do with my time. No, there's not. We need to do it anyway. There's some who will respond. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death, will cover a multitude of sins. And then let me also suggest that when it comes to following God and his word, we should also have a we've got to do it anyway attitude. Suppose we show concern about following the word of God as carefully as we can. There may be some who think that's a little strange. Some of our own brethren may suggest to us that we're going too far. We're being too strict. We may even be accused of causing problems in the congregation. And we, again, might be tempted to throw in the towel. We sure can't stop worshiping and serving God in the way that we believe the Bible tells us we are to do that. If there is any single thing that we need to do anyway, this has to be it. Jesus says in Matthew 4 and verse 4, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He didn't say that men would live on 85% of God's words or even 95% of God's words. The Bible is given to us so that we have words to live by. We have to use this word. We need to absorb it into our minds and our hearts. We cannot be satisfied to just know more than the average person about the Bible. And maybe we insist on holding ourselves to a very strict standard of morality based on what the Bible says. Maybe it is clear to other people by the way that we dress, or by the way that we talk, or by the fact that there are certain places that we won't go, or that there are certain things that we will not participate in, that we don't approve of certain kinds of things. But if we do that, there are going to be some who will say that by holding such a high standard, we are condemning their actions because they are willing to go to those places or they are willing to dress in a certain kind of way. They may call us a goody two-shoes or someone who's just trying to be more than we actually are. We need to do it anyway. We have to live our lives according to what we believe the Bible says. And we also need to be teachable. If someone can speak to us from the Word of God saying, well, here's why I have a problem with what you're teaching or what you're saying or the way that you're living. This is the reason that it concerns me. Then we ought to be willing to listen and to examine the Word of God to see if, in fact, we have misunderstood something. But the Bible does provide a standard of behavior. And it is by following that standard that we show ourselves approved unto God. It's not up to us to decide what's right and what's not. We don't get to do that. God has already decided. It's up to us to learn from it and to put into practice what we've learned. Well, I told you up front, the sermon only has one main point. When we find that our efforts in trying to be right, in all kinds of ways, are not appreciated by others and we are discouraged by that, we need to keep doing what we believe is right. We need to keep doing it anyway. And let me advise us all, and I am including myself in this, if we're not doing these things anyway, if we're not continuing to be kind and fair with others, if we are not making efforts to teach the gospel to others, if we are not trying to follow the Word of God as closely as possible, then we're making a big mistake in how we're living. Maybe there's someone here this morning who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, but who has not complied with the conditions for becoming a Christian that we find in the Scriptures. The Bible tells us we have to have faith in God, that we have to repent of our sins, and that we have to be baptized to obtain the forgiveness of our sins. It is only then that we become children of God. It's only then we become a part of the body of Christ that we talked about in our Bible class this morning. Is there someone here this morning who believes that Jesus is the Son of God but who has not done these things? Is it because you don't think that you know enough? If that's the case, then by all means, immerse yourself in the Word until you can understand what the Bible teaches regarding salvation. If the situation is that maybe you're waiting until you can understand everything in the Bible before you respond to the Lord's invitation, let me advise you to do it anyway, because you're never going to understand everything completely and fully. Spending a lifetime studying is not enough to understand every single thing completely. But we can learn what we need to know to be a Christian. If we are waiting until we think we can live it before obeying, then again, let me advise you to do it anyway, because we're always going to mess up. Even after we become Christians, occasionally we mess up. We do that which we know we shouldn't do. We will never be perfect. And the fact is, we'll make better progress as a child of God than waiting to try to be a perfect child of God and then obeying the gospel. That will never work. So why not do it anyway? If you've been holding off, you've been putting it off, you've been thinking, maybe not yet, I need to know more, I need to do more, here's what you need to do. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you're willing to turn away from your sins, and yeah, you need to be able to do that, at least to have a desire to do that. And if you're willing to be baptized into the Lord this morning, we'd be happy to help you. We'd be thrilled to help you. If you're here this morning as a Christian and there are things that we've discussed that need to be fixed, then let's resolve to fix those things. Let's resolve to do better. Let's do those things anyway. If there's some kind of other spiritual need that you might have, if you'd like the prayers of the congregation, whatever it might be, we stand ready to help. And we would be really, really happy to do that. So why don't you come now while together we stand and sing the song that Donald's going to lead us in.